Father, we thank you for all your gifts to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word made flesh in Christ. And we pray that your word, as we read and hear and think about it, will bring glory to you. In the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, this year's St. Albans Harvest Appeal is in partnership with Mission Direct and is on behalf of Uganda, providing poor families with chickens, eggs to eat, or to produce more chickens, to produce more eggs and maybe to be eaten. In June, Bishop Richard visited Silso Lower School, where he took part in an egg and spoon race to promote the Harvest Appeal. I asked him last Monday, did he win the race? And he said, sadly, no. According to UNICEF, East Africa is on the brink of famine, affecting over 20 million children. A changing climate has seen five rainy seasons fail, and in places where there has been rain, it has been intense, giving rise to flash floods which wash away the seeds and the soil. Ezekiel points to our individual responsibilities, and Jesus' parable focuses on accountability and responsibility in work and in relationships. Accountability and responsibility, of course, are making the headlines at the moment. The hospital managers at Chester in the Lucy Letby case. The senior police officers who in past years have done little to weed out unsuitable officers. The politicians who do not act to address the problems of porous concrete used in schools and other public buildings. And the television and media managers who turned a blind eye to the inappropriate behaviour of their star performers. But we are all accountable for our actions in parenting and family relationships, in work and in our community and in the whole of the society in which we live. This is especially true of those of us who call ourselves disciples of Christ. In exploring Christian discipleship in the world of work, Phil Jump and I wrote a book last year before last called Love Work, Reflections and Prayers for a World at Work. It's not easy to live as disciples of Christ in any place where few of those we meet share our faith and our values. It is particularly hard to maintain a loving and sincere witness to Jesus as Lord. Accountability to others and to God is at the heart of the book that Phil and I have written. And we look at 10 commandments, which we have picked out to help us to live out our faith. And we offer a pattern of reflections and prayers under the headings of these 10 commandments. Be diligent. Be alert. Be forgiving. Be caring. Be honest. Be healthy. Be prayerful. Be generous, be positive, and be reliable. And whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We can ask, as we celebrate harvest today, who is responsible for our changing climate with its disastrous extremes of weather? Harvest is dependent on the weather. The world is heating up. July was the hottest month on record. And not only the land, but also the seas, which affect the jet stream and ocean currents. We've seen wildfires and floods on the land. We've seen the damage to ocean ecology and the food chain so vital for our existence. But instead of blaming the past or putting everything off to a future date, we have to act in the present. We must not be selfish, but be concerned for everyone As Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. My lifestyle, based on fossil fuels today, will have an impact on the lives of my children and my grandchildren. It's not a matter of saying the right things, be they the preacher's rhetoric or the politician's promises. Our words must be fulfilled in our actions. It's walking the walk as well as talking the talk. So who is it who does the Father's will? The son who says yes, but doesn't go to work in the vineyard? Or the son who says no, but then eventually goes? So the Apostle Paul's words to the Philippian church is to have the same mind as that of Christ Jesus, who emptied himself of power and control and who calls us to deny self and take up the cross-shaped life in following him. Well, let's pause and think about the last few months. What have we seen? Well, the storms may have unthreatening names like Nigel. I can't imagine a storm called Nigel. Or Agnes or Babette. But harvests in India and Bangladesh have been destroyed by cyclones, rain and flood. Harvests in southern Europe have been destroyed by drought and wildfires. And we have seen starvation and the livelihood of many people in Africa destroyed as the rains fail. Our own farmers are constantly pointing to changes in the weather, especially with shortages of water, but also the unpredictability of the climate. Our warm, temperate, oceanic climate is changing as the ocean temperature rises and the currents change. The sea expands and tidal surges in the North Sea are leading to a loss of coastline and homes. Well, is God at fault? Is the good God who created such a rich creation now failing to care? As God says through his prophet Ezekiel, it's not God who is unjust, but we human beings who are unjust. This we should realize and repent. The harvest is dependent on the climate, and the climate is dependent on us. How can world leaders fail to act in the face of the facts about a changing global climate? Why are our own politicians more concerned about gaining votes than they are for the future of the world? It's no good telling us that we're committed to net zero carbon emissions by 2050 if we continue to backtrack on home insulation, green energy, and fossil fuel extraction. And it doesn't matter which party you're supporting, political leaders of all colours must keep their promises for a green agenda and programme. One son said yes and didn't go. The other said no, but later went. So who did the Father's will? And how about us? Do we accept that there is a climate emergency? Do we want there to be a world for our grandchildren to enjoy as we have enjoyed our lives to date? It's sad to say that the proverb that Ezekiel attacks may well be true for our grandchildren if we fail to act. What do people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me, and the one who sins is the one who will die. Addressing climate change involves three aspects. Mitigation, that's acting to address our contribution to climate change. Adaptation, that's changing the way we live to cope with climate change. And the third aspect is suffering. The greater the mitigation and adaptation, the less will be the suffering. But are we prepared to adapt our lifestyle? suffering through reduced consumption so that those in the global south may see less suffering. Sheila, as ever, is always my best critic, and she challenged me as I was preparing this harvest service that I speak a great deal about climate change, but we still have a petrol-driven car. We don't have solar panels on our roof, and we have taken one holiday abroad in the last 3 years which involved air travel. Well, I can make excuses, and I can defend these. And I can point out that we are living responsibly, low carbon, supporting biodiversity, cutting the plastic, eating less meat, and more importantly, engaging with our leaders. I've had many interesting email conversations with Richard Fuller, and he really does answer emails if you write to him. I agree with the leading environmentalist, Bill McKibben, who said, "People always come up to me at my talks and say, how do I make things better?" That strikes me as a healthy response to the situation we're in. It's in some respects like any other emergency. If your house is on fire, what do? Well, you try to put it out. The best antidote for despair is action. Otherwise, our failure to tend and care for creation may well see our grandchildren suffering the effects of heat and drought, floods and shortages of the variety of world foods that we enjoy. Well, here today we continue to give thanks for the harvest, for God's rich provision of all that we need. But we recognize that increasingly there is starvation and there are vanishing harvests in many parts of the world. So the call to follow is to follow Christ's example. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value other people above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus. The creation call to human beings was to care for God's creation. We read it at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. But sadly, the first human beings wanted to play God, and they failed to listen to God's commands and to God's wisdom. And the result was judgment. God said, "Because you ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." You see, like the first son in Jesus' parable, Adam and Eve said yes, but then didn't do what they promised to do. And like Adam and Eve, we as the human race have failed to listen to God's command to care for creation. We may have said yes, but the proof of the pudding is what you see. Yet now, of course, we can repent. Now we know what the situation is. And in Christ, like the second son, we can do our Father's will and take care of creation, because we are responsible and we are accountable. Our hope is in hearing and doing our Father's will. It's not too late for creation to be redeemed. But it will require hard work and sacrifice by all of us, politicians and people alike.